Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Friday! Woo! DC Sports Live presented by Marlo Furniture, Travis Thomas, and ladies and gentlemen, the Alexa Shaw Show has begun. She reps SoCali Cal, but she also reps Dimhorn Frogs of TCU. How are you?
I feel honored to be here with you, Travis. This is, except we don't have any candy here, so we can't pick at anything. But
I think it's a good thing.
We already have the sugar high because it's Friday, right?
No doubt. And we're together for the first time on the show. You gotta love that. You've been doing a kick-ass job on every show you've done. I've seen you. You're doing a great job.
Dynamic duo, right?
So, well, where does the love for sports start for you? Like, take me back to the Wayback Machine when you were a little girl. How did you get into this?
Well, I come up in a big sports family. My dad is the sports encyclopedia, I call him. That's where my sports love came from him, so shout out to dad. But my uncle was also a high school football coach. So my whole life, every Friday, all my aunts and uncles, my mom comes from a family of five, so all my aunts and uncles and cousins, we would go out on the field. And then I ended up, once I got into high school, interviewing my uncle's players, and that's where my passion for interviewing his coaches would do an iPad and record my interviews. And fast forward to now, and these guys are in the NFL, and I even interviewed, I think, Dwayne Haskins when I was in high school.
He was in high school.
I'm still trying to find the picture. I haven't been able to find it, so I got to find it for the fans.
That's crazy.
What a small world that I'm here, and we were both in high school when I think we first met at Elite 11 or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, you know what? Shout-outs to the Shaw family, too.
That's so sweet.
We're going to dedicate this 3-2-1 to the Shaw clan. We're about to get up in 3-2-1 right now. The top three stories of the day, according to Miss Alexa and I, of course. Now, it wouldn't be DC Sports Live without an episode of As the Trent Turns, like sands through the hourglass or the days of the Trent Williams drama. Dr. Alexa Shaw of Grey's Anatomy Hospital, can you prescribe me something to fix this mess, please?
I think you have to, first off, call Trent. I feel like he's been a part of this organization. You need to respect him. You have the conversation, and you talk to him, and you say, look, we value a part of this organization. You have an open and honest conversation, whether he wants to talk about the medical issues. Mm-hmm. You talk about those things. Even if it's a difficult conversation, you put all the feelings out there on the table. You discuss them. And maybe if the Redskins feel, look, in the front office, they want to bring in maybe the medical staff. We all want to have a roundtable discussion. Let's talk about this to fix this situation. Life sometimes, as we know, gets complicated, you know? So this is a situation where maybe there were some mistakes made, maybe not, but let's all have this open and honest conversation and hopefully can get past it. And if I'm the Redskins, I'm also sweetening the deal with a little money.
Well, right.
And then hopefully we see him back because I know the fans want to see Trent back.
Yeah, I mean, what if I said, Dr. Alexa, look, at this point, this relationship can't be fixed. They've had a decade of time together. It was really good, but the trust has been broken, Dr. Alexa. How do you fix the trust when it's broken?
I always like to look at the bright side and be optimistic. But if this can't be worked out, I think you have to find a trade value in him right now.
Yes.
Don't let this wear out. You saw Anthony Davis. I mean, I know that's the NBA, but they're showing up with shirts saying, I'm out. You know,
right.
You don't want that to start happening because your team culture already, people are talking about, has this been a distraction in training camp, having all of this Trent Williams talk?
Sure.
So I think during the season, it's only that much more of a distraction. So I do think you have to trade him now to get the most value. But again, he's still under contract. So to me, the team has the upper hand.
Yeah, I'm with you. In fact, I've gone on record and said you cannot allow Trent Williams to hold you hostage.
100%.
In my opinion, I would almost sit him down at this point and I would say, listen, give me names specifically. And maybe they've already done this for all we know, right? But I would say, give me names of the medical staff, of the people you want out of here. Give me names. If he gave me a few names, I'd get rid of them. If it's something I can't do, if he names someone too high at the top that I can't move, I tell him I can't do that. Give me someone else. I would try to work with him. If it doesn't work out, Alexa, at this point, I'm going to tell you, I would prescribe a trade. And I know this sounds harsh, but it's football and it's a business. I don't necessarily think I would do right by the player. Sometimes in trades, you want to do right. Oklahoma City, you brought up the NBA. Oklahoma City did right by Russell Westbrook, right? We see it all the time. I think in this case, if you're the Redskins, maybe you play the petty game. Maybe you say, okay, you know what? You want to be a distraction? You want to cause drama? You want to put our business out?
At the end of the day, he's holding out.
Correct.
When you're under contract.
You want to put our business out in the streets with all the medical stuff? No problem. You're going to Cincinnati. Good luck with that. You're going to Miami. Good luck with that. Although we know Miami's great to live in, but the Dolphins stink. Let's face it.
That's what I talk about. Melvin Gordon coming out as a Charger fan. You look, come on, he could be in L.A., or you want to hold out and make this whole stink? Well, like you said, you can be in Cincinnati then if you want to be there.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
does your loyalty lie? To me, that's another thing. I would stay loyal, but some guys, it's a business on both sides, and everybody's looking out for their best interests, and you got to play that game sometimes.
Gut feeling, yes or no? Week one, is Trent Williams suiting up for the Redskins? Gut feeling.
I say no.
Yeah, I think I'm with
you. That's my gut. I want to say yes. Like, I already did that whole thing about sitting down, round table. Yeah. I want to say yes. I say no, that I don't think he'll be back.
Right.
But I hope that there is, like, clear air. I don't want there to ever be, you know, he can't come back and he's not welcome. Like, I want there to be that love there. But, okay, we're moving on.
Same page, because I agree. I don't think he'll be here week one. All right, Alexa, let's go to number two. There are so many storylines going into the first preseason game against the Browns. First game for Haskins and Sweat. First game for Odell as a Brown, right? Baker Mayfield and all his shenanigans. The Redskins offensive line we just talked about. Darius Geis. Listen, 1 week from today, Alexa, what will be the headline?
My headline is all these rookies that were drafted. They are going to make an impact in this preseason. This is their time to shine. And my favorites, of course, I love the first rounders, but my favorites are also someone like Jimmy Moorhead, who's been making that impact in camp. He's a seventh round draft pick. And guys like that, I feel like
Up. Jimmy Moreland.
Moreland. And I feel like he's just showing out what he's been doing in camp.
Right.
And I want to see that in that preseason. And this is what he does. And this is what this time is for.
Yeah. Mine is Haskins gets closer.
Okay.
I think as the preseason goes on, and this is what happens with fans all the time when there's a new sheriff in town, right? A new quarterback in town, especially a rookie. Fans are clamoring for anything the kid does. Any game time, they're going to break down his every pass, his every move. If there's a false start and he got an assignment wrong, they're going to break that down. I think we're going to be so critical of Dwayne Haskins, both good and bad, and it will be so much attention and all eyes on him that I just think each week he'll answer the bell, he'll pass the test, and I think as we get closer to week one against the Eagles, people are going to be saying, you know, he should be the starter. Now, I personally think he will play this season.
Okay.
I think it's going to take a while. To me, I think it's going to be 5 or 6 games, we'll call it. I mean, those first 5 games are brutal anyways. I'd like to see him against the Dolphins, maybe San Fran, week 6 or 7. So that's just what I think. But if you let the fans tell it after this preseason and it starts next week, Dwayne Haskins will be the starter week one.
Okay. And what about, you know, Colt McCoy? They were talking that he's been making an impact at camp that people maybe weren't expecting. They thought Case Keenum would take that.
It doesn't shock me, though, Alexa. I mean, when you think about a guy who's been here as long as Colt has, he knows the offense like the back of his hand. It's no
problem.
Well,
that's what I'm taking. I'm taking experience under this offense over experience across the NFL, or what?
Listen, I'll be honest with you. It can be Colt McCoy or it can be Case Keenum. I don't really care who it is. Just let someone else not named Dwayne Haskins start for that hellacious first part of that schedule.
I agree.
Then bring the rook in when things calm down a bit, right?
We're eye to eye.
Told you, same page. Let's go to number one. We found out today that Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers play LeBron James and the Lakers on Christmas Day.
I can't wait for that.
How's that for old St. Nick coming down the chimney? Alexa, did you hear how Kawhi let the Raptors head coach Nick Nurse know he was leaving? He texted him 3 words. I'm going home.
I think you can't be surprised by this, Travis. This is Kawhi Leonard. I think the only thing we know from him is the, what it do, baby? And all right, I'm going home.
And that laugh.
Amanda, yeah. Yeah, I don't even know. I can't even do that. He's all about that. But I do think, I mean, there should be more of an explanation there than just I'm going home. I feel like I know this was just a one-year thing, but and you won a championship. But to me, you need to maybe explain a little more, thank them for what they've done. But who knows? This could be, again, in the article, this is the only thing that we know. But he could have also privately had a conversation with them, explaining more and thankful for them. But again, like we see in today's day and age, I don't know if that love is there between, or if it's just they're moving on or want the championships and it's just I'm going home and that's it.
Is it okay to call someone socially awkward in 2019? Like, am I going to offend people? I know how everyone's so sensitive. Kawhi Leonard's socially awkward. There's nothing wrong with it. He's a hell of a basketball player, but he's a recluse. Breaking news. Like, the guy, I mean, did you see, this is all I need to know about Kawhi. Have you seen the videos, like, pregame? It was definitely during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's back in the tunnel with his teammates. I think it was Kyle Lowry. And, like, literally, guys are walking up to him trying to dap him up. Like, let's go. Let's get pumped up. Yeah. Let's play a game. He leaves them hanging, and he points to the court like, let's go. Like, that's Kawhi. He's a robot with his personality. So this text to the head coach, I'm going home, three words, that's all he says. I think for any other player, I would be shocked. I would say it's kind of weird and lame. Like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have a private conversation? But that's Kawhi. He's a
exactly.
private dude.
And what's hard is that these his short comments and this, but like you said, it's also sometimes I'm okay with that in the media because maybe you're not a talkative guy. You want to be quiet. But that locker room moment, I feel like to me, you need to be in with your teammates. And he doesn't sound like he's all in or doing these games. And he's always like that. So,
well, I do think, to be fair, I think he's a good teammate. I think he's cool. I think guys like him. I'm just saying he doesn't have the personality.
At least he is who he is, you know?
He is who he is.
Baby,
he's not going to pull a LeBron and have, like, the decision, and you're not going to see Kawhi sitting
And you're right. I feel like there's that happy medium.
Yes, I agree.
But where is that?
Same page.
We're
same
right
page.
Here.
Let's go to Extra Point, Alexa, shall we? Let's. NASCAR, I know you're a big fan. A reminder for you gearheads out there to check out the slate of NASCAR races on NBC this weekend. We got all the business. Saturday at 3 on NBC, the Xfinity Series race. Then on Sunday at 3 on NBC, the main event. And for more, here's our resident NASCAR expert, Davey Siegel.
Who's ready to turn left and right this weekend, has two thumbs and a farmer's tan that you can't see right now? It's this guy. Mm-hmm. Road course racing this weekend at Watkins Glen. But as always, we got to go over what happened this past weekend in Pocono. It was Joe Gibbs Racing's Denny Hamlin who regained his Pocono prominence, stretching his fuel mileage just enough to last through overtime and also had enough fuel to do a burnout. It was his first win at the Tricky Triangle since 2010 and the fifth of his career there. And after a winless season last year, he already has not one, not two, but three trophies in 2019. Denny so far is delivering, that's for sure. But I teased it off the top. Watkins Glen International is this weekend's venue, the second of three road course races this season. Who I'm watching in upstate New York? Two rather unconventional names, Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez. You're asking yourself why. Well, Eric has finished top 10 in both of his starts at Watkins Glen and hasn't finished worse than third in his past three races. He is also getting hot at the right time right now. Suarez also has a nice track record at the Glen. He finished third and fourth in his only two trips there. As we take a look at the playoff standings with five races to go until they begin, he's in a virtual must-win scenario, as are pretty much all the other drivers below him. But a win for driver 41 this weekend, not out of the question by any means. The Go Bowling at the Glen scheduled to get underway around 3 p.m. on Sunday. Coverage can be found on NBCSN. Two weekends in a row driving in triangles, turning left and right. Who said NASCAR was just going in circles? See, guys, you learn something new every day.
Welcome back to DC Sports Live. Here's a sneak peek at some of the stories trending now over on NBCSportsWashington.com. Find out what D'Angelo Hall thinks about the addition of Landon Collins and what Josh Norman does this season. Darius Geis met his biggest fan at training camp. And the NBA's Christmas Day schedule is out. Find out the five games on the Association's Showcase Day. Right now on NBCSportsWashington.com, the latest edition of Redskins Chronicles features Dwayne Haskins and his longtime mentor and fellow Buckeye of the Ohio State. Sean Springs. The two talk about everything going on in the rookie quarterback's life, how he's adjusting to the NFL, to what makes those cleats, they're J's, by the way, so special. Go online now. You can't miss this. NBCSportsWashington.com. Here's a little snippet.
How much of the system is being thrown at you right now? How are you picking it up?
The whole book. Yeah. Right? I was telling Theismann, not necessarily me learning the plays is hard. It's right. Me just being able to hear what I have to say and say it back. Because I know what I'm doing as far as constant reading. That's what I do. So I'm just getting used to hearing a different language.
Yeah. And it takes time, and you'll get that down. And the last question, which is probably the most important question, how many times would I pick you off in camp?
Zero.
I don't believe that. I'd have got it. And you know what? That's what I'm going to tell you. I would have let him think. I would have gave him one. You know, here's what defensive backs do. I'd have gave you one. I'd have gave you a little curl. Maybe gave you a little out. Never gave you a deep ball. I would have let you think that you had some room, and guess what I would do? I showed you outside. What you gonna do with a veteran guy like me who shows you outside leverage and jump inside and pick your ball?
Sound like Norm, man.
Huh?
Sound like Norm.
No, there's a difference. There is a difference, baby.
Hey, listen, man, I throw just like how you cover. That's how it goes.
So all right.
That's
it. There it is. Man. All right. See you, brother.
Love.
All right, let's bring him in. The man right here, Sean Springs, here with us now. And we'll get to more Dwayne Haskins in a second. But I want to start here, Deuce 4. The Trent Williams saga continues. Yeah. I mean, this feels like Days of Our Lives to me at this point. What in the hell's going on here?
Well, obviously, you have a disgruntled player who not feeling the love from the Washington Redskins organization. And somehow we have to be able to figure out how to get Trent back on board, because he is the anchor of our offense. He's so important to the success, especially when you talk about protecting a franchise quarterback, which we possibly just drafted. So we have to figure out the situation with Trent.
And, Sean, you mentioned that franchise quarterback that you just drafted. You know Dwayne Haskins better than anybody. How is he adjusting to the NFL? And if you were to make that decision, would you go with him week one?
Well, you know, I think Dwayne is—he's always been mature beyond his age, and he's just going with the flow, and he's just learning the playbook. He's just taking it one day at a time, and he's pretty excited to be getting reps and be able to compete at quarterback. For me, it's all about, as a franchise, are we doing the best thing for the player who we believe could be the quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years? So it's always got to be taken in consideration. How do we best protect? Not for this year, but for the longevity of his career.
You went real political right
there.
Hey,
man, it happens, man.
Went real political there. Well, here's something. I want you to be real with this one. You were at camp for the start of camp.
Yep.
As someone who played the game for this franchise at a very high level, what did you see with thine eyes, offense and defense?
Well, first of all, on the defense side of the ball, you can see the draft picks are paying off. Jonathan Allen is a stud. You look at Sweat, who's a man. You know, he's a man among boys. He's a huge physical specimen who has a lot of upside. Talk about the defensive line was extremely impressive from where they look. On the flip side, it was not as equally as impressive on the offensive line. The offensive line, to me, looked like they were solid. They didn't look like they were above average, and without Trent, it could be a very mediocre offensive line.
And one of the stories out of camp is Jimmy Moreland, the Redskins' seventh round pick. He's been showing out. What are your thoughts on him, and how has he shown?
Well, first of all, when I was down at camp and I was out early watching to see the guys come out the locker room, and the very first guy out on the field by himself was Jimmy Moreland. I love seeing a young player who not only has the skill to be successful in the NFL, he has the desire to be great. And when you put that combination together, you might have something special. I believe, not political, in a year or two, he could be the best corner on that in that franchise.
Did you hear that?
Wow.
Yes.
I do like the guy, seventh round, comes in. You prove yourself in camp, and you're not, I mean, it comes with being the first rounder. You get all the cameras, the glitz and glam. You could still prove yourself then. But there's something about a guy who puts his head down. He's picked in the seventh round. Maybe there's some doubters, and he shows what he's made of. So I like that.
I like it.
Now, Alexa and I are jonesing for college football.
Okay.
It's all we've been talking about. As a resident Buckeye on set, I felt like it's only right to talk to you about a little bit of college football. So before we get into that, let me ask, how your Buckeyes will do this season. Ryan Day, now the man.
Yeah, you know, obviously Ryan has taken over. He's the coach, taking over for Coach Myers. I think we're loaded up on the front. We probably have one of the top three best players in college football on the team, and Chase Young, who can cause havoc against any offense in the Big Ten or any offense in the country. So I think we're going to have a great, great year. We're going to have a lot of success, and I expect us to play for the national title.
Okay, so then that kind of answers that question, right, Alexa? Because I was going to say, outside of Clemson and Bama, who do you like? So maybe I should say, outside of Clemson, Bama, and Ohio State, who
do you
like?
The Ohio State. I got corrected on that.
You know what? You know, there's a lot of talk about the SEC. I believe Harbaugh, and I hate to talk about the school up north because, you know, we don't like the school up north, but I think Jim Harbaugh, this is his year with a team that could potentially rival not only Ohio State in the Big Ten East, but could be play on the national stage.
Wow.
And I have one more for you, because I know, I feel like this offseason was big with the transfer portal. It was all we were talking about. Mm-hmm. The Ohio State got Justin Fields from Georgia. Tate Martell went from the Ohio State to Miami. They both got, I think, approved by the NCAA to play immediately. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on these players transferring and...
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you see guys who are top recruits coming out of college, and before you would get in a program, and if you didn't beat out the Fromm or somebody who's in your position, a Tua in the case of Jalen Hurts, hey, you just in that program for a while. Now these guys have the opportunity to really say, you know what, I'm not happy here. There's an opportunity for me to play any other college except maybe Clemson, Ohio State, or these schools who have established quarterbacks. I get a chance to go and show my skills because I was a top recruit and I'm a good player. I get an opportunity. I love it.
Well,
I think it's a great thing.
Alexa and I are getting our pro football fix right now with the preseason. Yeah. So thank you for helping us a little bit with our college football as we have to wait a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Always a pleasure, Deuce Ford. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Time now for last call, Alexa.
Last call,
yeah. How about this bobblehead, Anthony Rendon bobblehead night coming up September 13th. And they call him Tony Two Bags. That's his nickname for all the doubles and all the balling he does. However,
they kind of look like contracts.
Yeah, right? Like, if you really look at that bobblehead, I mean, is he holding up two contracts here? What's going on?
The timing is so crazy. And the Nationals, I mean, they chose this. This is his bobblehead, and he's securing the bags, as they
say. He's securing two bags.
Two bags.
I just, honestly, my gut is he will secure a big bag somewhere. It will not be with the Nationals.
I hope with the Nationals. I hope from Bryce Harper's departure, they learned from this. They keep Rendon. He's the player that's been with this organization.
Yeah.
And they want to pay him and be here. But will it be the value that he wants, or will he go elsewhere? Where does the loyalty
And he's
go?
A better player than Bryce Harper. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy they should pay. If you're going to pay one of them, let's say let Bryce walk and pay Rendon is the right choice, I think.
I agree.
But, I mean, look, the price tag, Scott Boras. We'll see more.
Who gets paid?
I mean, Scott Boras' name is notorious out here, just like Alexa Shaw. Notorious. DC Sports Live, have a great weekend. Peace.
See ya.
This has been the DC Sports Live podcast brought to you by Marlowe Furniture, Washington's home team since 1955.